Thank you, Andrea, Richard. I believe that's a great segue, a beautiful, beautiful song. And again, the topic for Reverend Eunice's talk today is can you believe it? So it just opens our hearts up just for that message from Reverend Eunice. So Reverend Eunice was first ordained with the United Church of Religious Science and later with the Agape International Spiritual Center. Reverend Eunice has served as a minister for over 23 years in spiritual communities in Oklahoma, Ohio, California, and Arizona. Reverend Eunice is passionate about teaching spiritual principles and practices that empower people to transform their lives. She's also passionate about peace, nonviolence, and community service, and she has served on several boards promoting peace and nonviolence. So at this time, if you would welcome Reverend Eunice to the platform.
Thank you. Well, good morning, beloveds. It's so great to be here. I love to come here into the sacred space. Reverend Karen and the Board of Trustees have allowed me to rent a space upstairs, so I get to come every day and do my preparation. I right now am traveling around and speaking at a lot of different centers. Next week I'll be in Albuquerque. While I'm candidating a new pulpit. So this has been a really wonderful time and has called me to go deeper into this wonderful teachings. And as Reverend Clyde said, I have been around for a long time. I discovered these teachings in the 70s. Of course, I was only 2 years old, mind you. No. But they just have empowered me to just live the life that I've always dreamed of living. And so each year at this time of the year, each January, we get to go back and rediscover our roots and our foundational principles. And as a collective now, we're doing that for, this is our second year as a denomination, the Centers of Spiritual Living. All the centers, most of them, go back and we revisit these roots, and we have a general theme. So I'm sure you've heard the theme that this is the year of value-based spiritual living. And so then each month we're going to talk about a value that undergirds our powerful teachings. And so I'm always excited to revisit the roots. And you know, after being a minister and going back to the roots for 23 times, this is my 23rd year, you think, wow, what else is there to discover? Is this all there is? And would you know, this year when I was meditating and preparing, I had a whole new, well, I guess it was epiphany. I just saw things in such a different way. So I'm going to try to weave in this new way I'm kind of coming to terms with these roots. Now, last week, you heard Reverend Cheryl talk about the thing itself. That's where we always start, the thing itself. And you know, Ernest Holmes, our foundation, or our founder, I always call him Ernie. Uncle Ernie, actually. Uncle Ernie always called God the thing itself. Why was that? So we would go, what? You know, that little gap allowed us to have a brand new, fresh experience. And so he describes principles in a really unique way that was really relevant back in the early days of Science of Mind. And so we always want to encourage ourselves to think of and to contemplate and to behold and to witness and to just resonate with that which is so indescribable. You know, if you can describe God, that's not God, the Buddhists say. So, but we still try to do that because it's so important for us to have this relationship. So last week, Reverend Cheryl, wasn't she wonderful? How many of you were here and heard Reverend Cheryl? Oh my gosh, she is a firecracker, isn't she? I love listening to her. And so what I got from her talk was that God is a bodacious presence and that we are called to pray dangerously, you know, really go for it. And that's true because God is infinite, yes? Infinite means no beginning, no ending, ever expanding, ever expressing into eternity, whatever that is. I mean, how big can we even contemplate what infinity is? It just blows our minds. And so that's where we always start, that there is something that is so vast and so infinite that we can't even begin to comprehend it. And that it is God, of course. And so this week, we're all talking about the way God works, the way it works, the way the thing itself works. And so it works for us by working through us, and it works through our mentalities, through our beingness. And so this chapter, chapter 2, has some of my absolute favorite quotes in it. And you could take each one of these quotes and just spend a month just meditating on them, and they will lead you to a deeper revelation. So the first thing he says, Uncle Ernie says, is that there is a universal mind, spirit, intelligence that is the origin of everything. It is first cause, it is God. And how I describe that is it is a power and a presence and an isness and a beingness, and there's nothing else but it. There's no other God but God. There's no other reality but this one presence. And it indwells. It is all that there is. And it's kind of hard to incorporate that in our understanding, isn't it? It's like the fish going around in the water going, where's the water? Where's the water? You know? That's how we are. We're going, where's God? Where's God in this? And we're in God. And God is in us. And so that's where we always start. Second quote I love. Our thought and emotion is the use we make consciously or unconsciously of this original creative thing that is the cause of everything. So last week, Reverend Cheryl called us to identify with that, that God is our very life, our very breath, our very heartbeat, and that's what we are called to do in this moment and in all moments. And then the third, this is the one that really always has gotten me, and I think about it a lot. The thing, then, works for us by working through us and is us. And is us. And then Ernie says, always. God is always being itself as each one of us. Now, that is really hard to take in for some of us, isn't it? God works for us by working through us and is us always. You know, Jesus says, know ye not that ye are gods? Doesn't it feel like, I don't know if I can say that? But that is the truth. And to the degree we surrender to that truth and become the living embodiment of that truth, to that degree we are lifted in consciousness to see a new possibility. And he goes on, or he goes on saying, it cannot work for us in any other way. So we all intellectually believe that, that we are unique outlets for this creative energy. We are divine emanations. We are unique individualized expressions of the divine. But do we really, really, really be that all the time? You know, that's a little bit of what Reverend Cheryl was talking about. What is it like to be that vibration, that living reality, that isness of God? You know, God knows itself as each one of us in a unique way. I am God's idea of itself. You are God's idea of itself. That is a bodacious statement, is it not? That is a mind-transforming statement. So we could just be that. Let's just take a moment right now and breathe it in. My life is the life of God. God knows itself as me. I'm a unique, individualized expression. For God works for us by working through us and is us always. It cannot work for us in any other way. So this is the part of the chapter that Ernest Holmes always goes into, quoting the Bible, saying, it is done to you as you believe. So how God works for us is through our mentalities, through our beliefs, through our inner realm. Not some outside savior going to sweep down and keep us safe from ourselves, which a lot of us need because we do crazy things in our mind. I know I do. I may be the only one. I don't want to make any assumptions. You know, my mind sometimes is a very scary thing. So, you know, it's kind of, it would be nice to have this outside separate force that comes down and sweeps upon my being and saves me from all the scary drama that I conjure up. But that's not how it works. That God is always operating. God is always being its essence as our very beingness. And to moment, live from that purview, live from that perspective, having that be the reference point. That's what we're called to do here. So how God works for us is through our beliefs, what we believe. Therefore, and this is the last quote, therefore our beliefs set limits to that which is limitless. Our beliefs set the limit to our demonstrations of a principle which of itself is without limits. So we get to choose how little or how big we want to live. We get to choose how we view anything in life. And the moment we choose that viewpoint, that perspective, it's limited because we move and live and have our being this infinite reality. You know, how many of you saw What the Bleep? Oh my gosh, I'm a visual person. I love that scene. Remember when there's 1,000 basketballs? And when she's turning her back, the lady in the thing, there's like 1,000 basketballs all bouncing at the same time. And the moment she turns around and looks at one, everything else collapses into that one. That's what we do. We have this infinite reality. And the moment we see something concrete or we believe in something concrete, this whole infinite field of possibilities, the quantum soup of beingness, collapses into that one slice of reality, that one viewpoint, that one demonstration, that one concept. That's power. But it's also the biggest trap, isn't it? We forget that we have been the one that chose that viewpoint. We forget that we have caused that infinite field to collapse into one expression. We forget that we are the power because of this epiphany that I had. So I want to get us clear that, you know, this second chapter is really how to live this stuff. And it's very concrete and palpable. Would you not agree? I mean, I think we probably all in some way, shape, or form have read the second chapter or have gone to a class, taken foundations, heard it talked about from this pulpit for many times. And we know, wow, this stuff is good. I can use it. You know, we've heard the phrase, there's a power greater than you are in the universe, and you can use that. And that makes a lot of sense. But do we do it all the time? No. And even when we're practicing, have you ever noticed that the more you practice this stuff, the less demonstrations you have? Have you ever noticed that? When my first year in religious science in 1976, Terry Cole Whitaker said, you know, if you practice this stuff, your life will never be the same, and you can do wonderful, wonderful demonstrations. You can manifest. And I went, that's for me, because see, I was an unchurched person. I never went to church until religious science. This is my first, you know, and I was a young single mother, actually, with two little kids, and I was really in the victimhood mode. I was like, nothing was working. I didn't have a job, and I had a college degree, but no, I was out of the workforce for 6 years, and nobody could, you know, I couldn't find a job, and I didn't have confidence. And then somebody dragged me into my first religious science church, and Terry Cole Whitaker, my first minister, said this, and I sat there and I went, okay, I'm going to try it. What do I have to lose? I can't go any lower. And so I started practicing it to the letter, right? And whoa, did I demonstrate. Oh my God, I had so many woo-woo things happen. And then after 23 years, you know, the demonstrations kind of slowed down, and I'm going, what is that? Is it not that I'm not good at practicing like I was? No, because I practice probably more now. I pray more. I live in the consciousness more. What is this? Well, this is where my epiphany happened this week. Has Reverend Karen ever talked about the four realms of consciousness or the four stages of consciousness? Or have you taken financial freedom class and you studied the four kingdoms of consciousness? There's many maps of consciousness, and that one was I think Reverend Marcia Sutton, who wrote the Financial Freedom, got it from my teacher, Reverend Michael Beckwith, because he was her teacher in the School of Ministry. But anyway, that really explains what happened. So let me give you a crash course on how that relates to these foundational teachings. So the first stage of, or the first realm of, because it's not linear and we're always moving back and forth between the realms and the stages, right? You know, sometimes we're in victimhood. Like last week, I'm in a disoriented space because I'm moving and I was feeling victimized. Like, how's this happening, you know? But sometimes I'm in a meditative space and I'm feeling the oneness. So, you know, we're always fluid. We're always moving about. But when we're in that space where we're seeing absolute separation from the good of God and we're feeling like life is doing it to me and we're really feeling victims, you know, and it could be as a result of hitting our thumb on it with a hammer or having an illness or losing our job or having a relationship breakup. Could be any number one things. But we move into that. Life is doing it to me and it doesn't feel good and I feel like crap. You know, that's kind of the stage. And we feel helpless and hopeless and all those kind of feelings. That's the first realm of consciousness. Life is doing it to me. We're in pure pain. What helps us to move into the second realm, and this is where we find these powerful teachings that I've been just talking about, is we have to take responsibility. Now, responsibility doesn't mean blame. It means I can choose to respond. I have choice to respond, and I choose to respond to this. That's what responsibility means, the ability to respond. And so we respond in a way that allows us to start healing, start to manifest, and we move into the second realm of consciousness. And that's the consciousness of dominion. And I love that realm because that's where we develop our faith muscles, our capacity to manifest, our way to really transform our life and make our life into what we have always wanted it to be. So this stage of consciousness allows us to develop a powerful mental equivalence of what's possible. What an expanded view of what I know is possible in my life. That's where we learn. That's where we strengthen. And what happens is that's where we really demonstrate. So when we first get into these teachings, we start first practicing them. We start having these demonstrations because we are using the principles that I just talked about, right? And we're starting to see the results. We start to see this cause and effect. Now, we slip unconsciously into an idea that the purpose of my life is to manifest a better humanhood. The purpose to my life is to make life harmonious and to take control over my life and to make things happen. That is a false belief. And it's easy to slip into that because we see such results, right? We can absolutely go unconscious and think, I'm here to control life. Life can't be controlled. It's an infinite field of possibilities. All things, good and bad, up and down, right and wrong, boys and girls. I mean, every single polarity happens within the isness of this infinite field of possibilities. My job is not to control it. There's something else. Now, how this translated in my life is that I spent years manifesting, and I was popping, you know, incredible jobs. I climbed this corporate ladder and went from, you know, from $500 a month. This is in the 70s, mind you. So $500 a month income was, I mean, it wasn't as bad as it sounds like now, but it was bad. But I climbed the corporate ladder and started making six figures after, 10 years. So I was able to manifest. And I was able to manifest jobs. I thought, well, I want to be an international sales manager. And I did. I found this company and I started traveling. I did all these woo things, saved, up for my kids' college. And I just did it all. And I was feeling really good. And then I started feeling this, what I call divine discontent. Is this all there is? Something niggling was happening in my consciousness. I knew this stuff worked, but it wasn't fulfilling. This was the epiphany. The first two realms of consciousness, where we use these principles, we use them in a very concrete, limited way. And we start to see God as a power that can be used. That viewpoint separates us and cuts us off from the essence of God, in which is the essence of our beingness. Because we see God as a noun. This is the epiphany. God isn't a noun. God is a verb. God is a verb. And you may have heard that before, and I have said that before, but I didn't have the mental equivalence. I didn't feel it. And this week I felt it. I went, oh my God. God is the activity of consciousness. God is the activity of demonstration. God is the beingness in that moment. That is where my true nature is. And that is why God is infinite. And that is why I can never arrive. There's no destination point. There's always a becoming more and more and more. Now, that's not to say I don't use the principles. It's to say I use them in a way that keeps me open to that ever-unfolding, ever-expanding consciousness of God. Does this make sense? Sometimes it's hard to get it out when it's an experience and there's not words. But if we can resonate to the isness aspect of God and not as a noun. See, even the terminology, words limit. Ernest Holmes calls God the thing itself. Well, thing is a noun, for God's sakes. No wonder we get separated from our true energy about what God is and the true power and the essence. It's unfolding. It's ever expanding. It keeps me fresh after 23 years of teaching this stuff. Here's an analogy for those of you that are like me or visual. Realm two is like a chicken embryo inside of an egg. And it's growing and it's developing, and pretty soon the egg shell is getting a little tight and it's getting polluted because there's nowhere to go, right? So this chicken embryo is growing and growing and growing, and then the chicken embryo, and we are the chicken embryo, says, oh, I know, I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna pray for a bigger shell, right? Thinking that is what prayer is for. That is what I'm called to know. A bigger shell, a more expanded shell. When all along, what the divine nature of that chicken embryo is called to be is to crack out of the shell and be a chicken that flies and jumps and eats bugs and all kinds of things. Now, the little embryo could never conceive of itself as a full-blown chicken, could it? But that is really what's in store. And so if the chicken embryo saw and identified itself as a beingness, as a verb, I am a divine expression always expressing, I am an energy always revealing, I am the isness of God expressing, then even if the chicken embryo didn't know what a chicken was like, it still would be able to keep going and eventually being fulfilled as in its next evolution. You know, it's the same thing with a caterpillar. A caterpillar going into the cocoon cannot even conceive of itself as a butterfly. And indeed, it has to be liquefied to be able to be reformed as a butterfly. Well, we're called to liquefy our mental equivalents, always to open up to a greater possibility. That's the power of these teachings. They're not static. God is not a noun. God is a verb, a dynamic energy. And so what keeps us fresh, what keeps us energized and vitalized is not just reciting these quotes, but contemplating, breathing them in. You know, each stage has spiritual practices that are powerful. Stage one, the practice is taking responsibility, right? Stage two, or realm two, where the realm of dominion, it is affirmations, it's goal setting and intention setting. It is praying affirmatively. It is making a prayer log. Do you guys do that? A demonstration log. I pray for this and this happens. So we start to develop our faith muscles. Realm three, what it calls us to do, and by the way, realm three is living through God living through me. It's through me. Realm two is by me. Life is happening by me. Realm three is life is happening through me. God is expressing through me and as me. And as me is the realm four. But what's the spiritual practice are powerful in realm three is contemplation meditation. It is visioning. What is God's highest visioning? Vision for my life. What am I called to step into? What feeling tones? What ways of being in relationship to life am I called to step into? It's more open-ended. It's more staying present in the still point. So we have to do a lot more intentional breathing, becoming still, being the witness. That's one of the biggest tools for realm three, witness. Observing that inner dialogue, observing, you know, how I'm living in life. Observing what's coming up without acting on it. Just observing it and knowing, ooh, there's a higher truth here. I'm a chicken, I'm not an embryo. You know, that kind of thing. Observing, being present, being still. When we practice our spiritual practices, then we have a deeper meaning of our spiritual principle. What you're hearing in these first four chapters is principle. What I'm called to do and what I invite you to do with me is start to put them into an experiential way of relating to them. Don't think about them. Don't hold them as a concept, but hold them as a living reality that is always unfolding. It is always becoming more and more and more of itself. So it's really about practicing, not talking the talk so much, but practicing listening, being, seeing that who I am is an activity of consciousness. And when I see who I am, demonstrations occur. It's not like we give up all our demonstrations. They can't help but occur. God expresses always. You know, spirit knows only to express into form. But where is my focus? On the form, on the results, on the demonstration, or on the activity of becoming, of being, of expressing? Does that make sense? So this is a subtlety that is overlooked by me anyway all these years because I was so focused on the law and manifesting. I saw this chapter from the realm two consciousness. And yet there's a lot of realm three in it. Here's an excerpt from, actually it's from the first chapter. And it says, Ernest Holmes says, it is impossible to plumb the depths of the individual mind because the individual mind is really not individual, separate, but is individualized. Behind the individual is the universal, which has no limits. In this concept alone lies the possibility of eternal and endless expansion. See, he's talking about who I am is a verb. Who I am is the unfoldment. It is the activity of consciousness. And then he goes on and says, no man has ever plumbed the depths of either the conscious or the unconscious or the subjective life. In both directions, we reach out to infinity. And since we cannot encompass infinity, we shall always be expanding and always enlarging our capacity to know and to experience and to be. That's realm three. So God works for us by working through us and is us always. Who we are is a verb. Who we are is that divine activity of consciousness forever expanding and expressing. Our task and our calling is to be present, awake, and witness that divine activity always coming forth. Let's breathe that in. There is no measure, there is no limit to the infinite possibilities in God as God, because we are godlings, we are divine emanations, we are activities of consciousness. It is not me who is doing the work, it is the Father, Mother, God who is doing the work in, through, and as me. One final little thing, which I get excited because I'm not a Bible scholar like Reverend Cheryl. You know, not being raised in traditional religion, I read some of the Bible, not all of it, when I was in the School of Ministry. And I thought, wow, this is where Ernest Holmes got his stuff. You know, it's like it never occurred to me before then. But the very first verse in the Bible is Genesis 1. Yes? Christian translation said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, right? God created. The noun created the effect. In the Jewish Bible, in the earlier translations, it says, in beginnings, God is creating. That's pure verb. Isn't that amazing? I learned that from a Jewish scholar who I brought in to teach Old Testament when I was in my church in Dayton, Ohio. And when he said that, I went, oh my God. Now, I never related it to the second chapter like I did this week, but that's what it is. We are called to always be witnessing the unfolding nature, the beingness, the creating. Who I am is an activity of creating always and forevermore, because God is that, and I am a unique, individualized expression of that. All right, and that's all I have. So... Let us now just go within and embody it. And I love the word embody. It means becoming the flesh of our experience. Like a bread is embodied into our flesh and to our bodies when we eat it. Let us eat these truths and let them become part of who we are. And what a joy. What an absolute joy it is. Just to sense and feel and to know. This eternal and unfolding activity of the divine, which I call the radiant is. Ernie calls it the thing itself. Native Americans, the great mystery. What I know is that it is eternal and everlasting, that it is a divine creative activity always taking place in and through and as all of creation. No beginning, no ending, just the isness of coming forth into full radiant expression in an infinite variety of ways. God is all of this and more. The impulse of creation, the urge to unite and experience oneness. We are one with each other. We are one in God. We are one in this creative activity. We are always dancing the divine dance. God is all of this and more, more than words could possibly express or mind can comprehend. God is more infinite and greater than all of this. And yet, because God is the only life there is, God is my very life. God lives itself in, through, and as me, and in, through, and as all of us here present throughout eternity. And how good it is that we have been created with the capacity and the activity of creating. We have been born with the capacity to be the consciousness of the divine in full radiant expression. expression forevermore and always. And so I know that there is something for each one of us here in this sacred moment. There is something that has been activated. There is a new aha, a new insight, a new revelation. For we all live and move and have our beingness in the beginner's mind. We are always beholding a new possibility, a new essence, a new isness. And life is so fulfilling, and life is such a magnificent adventure, and life is so creative and so powerful that no thing and nothing can ever block, limit, or inhibit our true nature, our true identity. That God's life is my very life. God is the very essence of my beingness, the very substance of my body. All that I am is God revealing, God coming into full radiant visibility. I'm not all of God. I'm not a noun. I am a divine activity, an impulse of creativity. And so I know that each one of us has a new hit on that identity. And each one of us feels empowered by these wonderful science of mind teachings, this way of life that knows no limit to what's possible. And this rootedness, this foundation lifts us and equips us to move through this incredible life that we live in, knowing that nothing and no one can block, limit, or inhibit our awareness of the divine always taking place. Not our political upheavals, not our family disputes, not our change in occupation or in our health. All is just a divine dance. All is divine activity. And because I know where I'm rooted in the oneness, the unity, the creativity, the activity of the divine, that is my true nature. I am always divinely equipped. God is always my sufficiency and grace. And I go forth making bold choices, enjoying the journey, being filled and fulfilled in spirit. I know this for myself. I know this for each one of us here present. I know this truth for our beloved community, Westside Center for Spiritual Living, knowing that just begun. There is something that has called all of us here together to birth and to express and to be. And so I am just grateful that this vital, energized, dynamic community is here and even now is attracting more and more and more people who are turned on by this teaching. Hungry for it. I know that this is the truth for our greater denomination and for all paths to God. For we live in a world that works for all. I affirm it, I claim it, I know it. And this is just the beginning of something magnificent. And so for this and more than words can possibly express, I am eternally grateful and thankful. Breathing this truth in, we now together declare. So it is. Amen.